controlling the calories that actually come into the Gaza Strip. What is Israel's goal regarding the Gaza Strip? What does it plan to do? I mean, let me come at another angle. Are you not surprised that Israel did not go for a full invasion based on the large number of rockets that were fired from the Gaza Strip 24 hours ago? Did that surprise you? And overall, what is their goal regarding the Gaza Strip?
Well, I mean, what you suggest isn't borne out by the statistics, isn't borne out by the figures. The Gazans, the people living in the Gaza Strip, have one of the best age longevity spans in the Arab world and in the Middle East. Compared to its neighbours, people in Gaza live longer lives. It doesn't prove what you've been saying at all. It's just a mythical way of delegitimizing Israel, another way of attacking Israel. But when you look at the statistics, it just is completely untrue. Israel doesn't want to have a war with the Palestinians. Israel has no desire to lose people, Israelis. It doesn't want to kill Palestinians. Israel wants a peaceful solution, and that's why the two sides at the moment are trying to work out peace around the negotiating table. That is the only way that two states, a Jewish state, can live side by side with a Palestinian state. It's not going to come through bullets. It's not going to come through, as you suggest, attacking Gaza. Israel gets nothing out of that, nor do the Palestinians. The only way is to negotiate. That's what Israel feels.
I know that you have a response, Joe Cutrone, to our guest, Richard Millett. Please hold on to your thoughts. Let's find out what our viewers think based on the comments that they have posted on our Facebook page. Let's take a listen.
Stop murdering innocent people of Gaza. At last, Palestinians are rising against Zionist oppression. There should be peace, not war.
Just some of the viewer comments there. As I'm looking down the way that Israel rations the flow of goods into and through the crossings into the Gaza Strip, Joe Cutrone, your reaction to what Richard Millett said, that the average lifespan of Gazans is one of the highest in the Arab world, along with some of the other, data that he mentioned on Palestinians in the Gaza Strip?
Well, I can't speak to lifespans in particular. The fact of the matter is I simply don't know. I have not reviewed that information. But otherwise, I think we're hearing some pretty straightforward denials of objective facts. We hear that Israel wants peace. Israel does not want war. Okay, if Israel wants peace, then why does it not, at least, at the very least, to avoid compounding the crimes of its past, stop invading the Gaza Strip? When it sends an invasion force into another territory, it has to have some idea of what will ensue. My knowledge of political science might not be the best, but I have in mind that when a country, for example, the United Kingdom, wants peace with its neighbors, it will not send troops to invade them. We will not see British columns marching into Ireland soon because these countries are at peace and have interest in maintaining that. Israel's interests here are clearly something different. Their actions every day make that obvious.
Well, since we're talking about peace there, Joe Cutrone, Richard Millett, let me ask you, what do you think about the peace process? Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, says that the Palestinians should recognize Israel as a Jewish state. Has Israel recognized Palestine as a state or any formal written or legal sense of the Palestinian rights to a state when they're making that demand from the PA in particular?
Yeah, I mean, Israel's recognized the Palestinian state. That's why they're negotiating at the moment. Israel is a Jewish state and a Palestinian state. Israel has recognized that. And this is one of the major problems, is Palestinian leadership won't recognize Israel's right to be a Jewish state. The problem is that they would have to drop the so-called Palestinian right of return, as our friend in Gaza keeps going back to 1948, saying that the Palestinians should be there, well, the Jews could go back to other times when they were there. You know, how far back do you want to go? In this situation, if you want to use this argument, there'll never be peace. We've got to look at the situation as it is. Israel wants to be a Jewish majority state. You know, we're talking about Iran. Iran is an Islamic state of Iran. There are 57 Muslim states. Israel wants to be considered a Jewish state, and that Palestinian Mahmoud Abbas could say that, and there'd be a long way towards achieving peace.
Is Israel afraid of it not being a Jewish majority state were it to happen? Now, whether it's a one-state or two-state solution.
Well, of course it's, I mean, that's the whole reason Israel was born as a Jewish state, because that is where the Jewish people originated from, and that is where they have always lived in certain numbers, and the land should be partitioned between a Jewish state and a Palestinian state. But that Jewish state must retain its Jewishness, its majority Jewishness.
Well, you talk about partition there. Joe Cutrone, correct me if I'm wrong, looking at maps from 1947 up to now in terms of the expansion of the occupation by Israel, we can see how Palestinian land has been diminished to a rather very small percentage throughout the years, decades, until the present moment. What is your idea, Joe Cutrone, of this so-called peace process? Is it going to happen? Is there going to be even a two-state solution possible? Or are we looking at a one-state solution, as many analysts are saying, that that's the only viable outcome at this point?
I think that's the only viable outcome at this point. The two-state solution, it's simply hard to see how it will work with giving up, with looking at the maps and figuring out what each side would have to give up that could make it work. But it simply doesn't add up. I was reading very recently the Palestine Papers, a series of accounts of the negotiating process. And there was one very simple point in it where an Israeli negotiator says no Israeli prime minister will sign an agreement that cedes Ariel, the Israeli settlement in the West Bank. And a Palestinian negotiator says no Palestinian will sign an agreement that does not cede it. And that's a dynamic we see appearing again and again. If partition is the goal, there are simply too many settlements at this point, too many decades of Israeli land theft to possibly make it work. And this is something for which the responsibility rests on Israel alone. There has been no Palestinian theft of Israeli land.
Well, Richard Millett, you've mentioned Iran on a couple occasions there in your statements. Let's look at the way that there's been this rapprochement between Iran and the West, and particularly the U.S. over Iran's nuclear program. At the same time, Israel, obviously, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, not happy about it, has pushed the U.S. To run counter to the diplomatic approach that the U.S. has taken, along with the P5+1 countries, saying don't believe Iran. But we are seeing that this deal is moving along and it's humming along to the dismay of Israel. So put that into perspective for us. How is it that Israel, in terms of its relation with the U.S., is now beginning to feel somewhat isolated and left behind, so to speak, when it comes to U.S. and its support for Israel? Is Obama going to pressure Netanyahu in going forward with signing this peace process? I'm trying to put different points cumulatively into one question here for you.
I think Iran's a separate issue, but I think the world is seeing in the last couple of months the real face of Iran. We saw recently the head of the Iran Revolutionary Guards Corps say that they're finger is on the trigger, waiting for the order just to attack Israel, number one. We've also seen on Iran television this simulated attack on Israeli military and civilian targets from Iranian rockets. And we've also seen the cross-sea ship haul of weaponry that was en route to Gaza to finance and to supply Hamas with weapons with which to attack Israel. So gradually, I think the world could well see what the real face of Iran is, and it's not one that they were expecting or wanting to see, unfortunately.
Well, that's given what you're saying, as opposed to the major officials there of the P5 plus one, Richard Millett, who have gone along with Iran regarding its nuclear program, if that's ever a threat, of which obviously there's lots of monitoring, to say the least, that's going to go on there. Joe Cotrone, in conclusion, I'm going to ask you, we're looking at this particular escalation, which appears at this point not to have thrown a full invasion by Israel on to the Gaza Strip. But in the bigger picture, do you foresee that something is going to have to give before that 6 years arrives, the year 2020, when the UN says Gaza is not going to be livable?
Yes, it's very hard for me to see how things here can continue on the current track indefinitely. What will happen is hard to say. There are a number of possibilities involving everything from the PA's negotiations with Israel to the reconciliation process between Hamas and Fatah. But I think it's clear that the status quo is not sustainable for the long term. Something will need to change here.
Very well. We're going to unfortunately have to leave it there. Thank you very much. Joe Cotrone, journalist, human rights activist, talking to us there from the Gaza Strip. I'd also like to thank Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator, who spoke to us from London. Thanks for watching another edition of The Debate. Questions or comments, do send them the old-fashioned way, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Vitafoy and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.